Blog Talk Radio.
Up next, the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark.
Good morning, sports fans. This is JP and the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark. We are coming to you live from the Veranda High Point apartment complex in their beautiful conference room. I am the one and the only JP. Across the table from me is Mr. West Coast himself, Mark Foray. You finally get that nickname back this week.
Hey, I still bleed blue. I don't know what you're talking about.
I know.
But you know, it's a beautiful morning out here. I was able to actually get up in time to see the sunrise. And it was a gorgeous orange, showing once again that God is a Broncos fan. And we know that because he sent his only son down Elway to, you know, lead us to the promised land, which he did. Hopefully Peyton can do something like that this year. Although I have a feeling the Broncos could be looking at a tough four-game stretch coming up. We do want to let everybody know there is a game on this morning. You probably may not know about it. It's in London. The NFL is pushing hard. They really want to have a franchise over there. It's not exactly a good game in terms of competition, but it's a pretty exciting game to watch. The Jaguars are just going off. It's unbelievable. In the first quarter to the – well, partway through the second quarter, but – Bortles, who's my fantasy QB in one league,
okay,
is looking real sharp. In fact, I think the Jaguars are for real. Not this year, because they're 1-5. But it's not the inept 1-5 you've seen the last few years from them. Basically, what they're doing now is they've got a couple of receivers who look better or slash maybe are better because of Bortles. They've actually got a real running back for the first time. And going into this game, they had one takeaway for the whole year. They had 3-on-3 possessions against E.J. Manuel and the Bills. So it's not Tyron or whatever his name is, the new guy that they got. It's back to E.J. Manuel, and he's pretty much showing right away that he's not really an NFL like level quarterback. But overall, you know, it's been a great week, and I put a big bet on the Jaguars, so I'm feeling real good so far.
I like that. Let's see here. What the Jaguars were 4-point dogs in this game, and they are blowing the Bills out 27-10 on what I got on my ESPN ticker.
Yeah, and you know what also is important to note is that actually both Sammy Watkins and Percy Harvin are not playing.
That's
now,
true.
Percy, do we even know what's going on with that guy? I think he's a basket case.
Well, Percy is looking at retirement right now. Citing a lot of different reasons. He is a basket case, quite frankly. I took him on one of my fantasy teams, I think, 2 years ago or a year ago, and I dropped him after, I think, a game.
He's so much talent. With players like him or when you look at Ricky Williams and things, and you know, we live in a state where pot is legal. And even
That's
with
true.
Pot being legal, if someone offered you $5 million a year, I mean, do you think you might be able to say, okay, I can go sober for the next 5 years?
It's like Stephen A. Smith. You got to stay off the weed.
It just dismantles everybody.
It just does.
So let's, just in case people are looking, actually the game is about to go to halftime over there in London. It's now 27-13 for the Jaguars, looking really strong. And if you want to watch it, you can watch it on Yahoo. They're doing a streaming. It is not on television. I'm not sure that's a good move for the NFL.
I'm not sure either.
Well, I mean, you know, video streaming requires a pretty healthy amount of bandwidth. And not everybody has that kind of bandwidth now. And you want to make, you know, you're trying to reach as many fans as possible. I also wonder about the problem of how many games they seem to be moving to, like, cable networks. And not everybody has cable.
That's the funny thing. They moved Monday Night Football a couple years ago to actually ESPN and not on ABC, which it was a staple at ABC.
Now, we should mention that NBC did get Sunday Night Football.
They did.
NBC
has Sunday Night Football, and now CBS has some of the Thursday Night Football with the NFL Network. They partnered up to get more games.
Well, then you got the baseball playoffs are all on TBS, TNT, and then I think the World Series is on Fox.
It is on actually Fox, not Fox Sports. Yeah.
Almost no one seems to have Fox Sports 1.
Well, I got Fox Sports 1 for free, actually, for some reason, the past month. And a beautiful Sports Network.
I get
that
with the sports package on my normal cable.
Yeah.
But that's with Xfinity, which that's about the only thing I can say positive.
I have Dish, and I love it. And I, for some reason, all of a sudden, September hit, and I got both. My bill didn't go up, and I got the channels for free.
You know, thank God for small favors.
Yeah, and you know, I want to point one other thing out with the Jacksonville game. The NFL just extended the contract for 5 more years over there. So Jacksonville's
really?
Going to be playing another 5 more years of football over there at least once a year. So they're going to do 5
really?
More years.
And now, and I heard something this morning on the drive down about, is there another game in London next week?
I don't think there is. What they're talking about next year is London and Mexico City and or Canada.
Now, see, those seem like Mexico City and you know, like Toronto, Montreal,
yeah.
Maybe something over on the west. Those make more sense to
yeah.
me. It's not a long flight.
Well, the Cowboys actually did a couple years ago now. They went down for a preseason game in Mexico City, and that stadium holds about 150,000 that they do it.
And I think it was a pretty big hit, as far as I know.
It was. I mean, they're all Cowboys fans down there because, you know, Texas is northern Mexico, but for God's sake.
The poor Mexicans, they think Cowboys are America's team.
Oh, I know.
So now, the you know, we should probably jump into baseball because that's really what's, you know, been going on right now. So we're going to start off without, you know, getting into the playoffs right away. The Phillies have now signed a new general manager. I think his name is
Matt Klentik. That's how I'm going to pronounce it. Klentik, there was 3 people in the finals. Matt beat out everybody. Comes us from the LA Los Angeles Angels. He's the AGM, the assistant GM over there. And Ruben Amaro Jr., the GM that got fired by the Phillies, is now headed to Boston to be the first base coach.
That's an interesting step down.
It's an interesting step, but for Ruben Amaro Jr., I could probably see it because he probably wants to get back to the grassroots of being on the field. He was a great player. So I can
miss
see why
the competition.
Yeah,
you want the feel of the thrill.
You know, you don't
want
to be up in the box and doing all the decisions. You want to get into the game and, you know, and
see,
it's,
I'm
what
so
a better
weird.
Way to
I actually
it.
Would love the GM part more.
Well, that's the funny
thing. I
want to
build something, you know. but then again, I'm not very athletic, so I don't have a lot of like natural skill at sports. So I never got quite the thrill I think that some people do because
yeah.
you know you have to like do well.
Well, being in the front office is a lot different than being on the field. When I was in the front office with the Iron Pigs, even though I was executive chef there, was still front office with them. We had our own catering company. You don't get to watch much baseball. It's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that you're
it's
doing.
Business.
And
it's not, business. It's not fun. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think he wants to get back to the fun part of the game.
I mean, if I was a GM, I'd be a lot like Billy Bean was in that movie,
mm-hmm.
Smart Moneyball.
Moneyball.
Because I would not want to sit and watch.
Oh,
I loved
how he left the game.
Yeah, I would be. Or
he went and worked out.
I'd be the same way. Text me any substitutions or any pinch hitters or any, you know, new pitchers. That's all I really care
yep.
about.
I know you want to talk about Mr. Don Mattingly over there, so why don't you take it away?
Oh, why would anybody want to talk about Don Mattingly? you know, it was a long time coming. I mean, the Dodgers finally parted ways with Mattingly. Now, I at first thought it was a firing, but from what I've been reading and looking at, it looks more like it was actually a mutual decision.
This came across the board the other morning on Mike and Mike. I just happened to be up at 5:30 in the morning. Greeny was going to read it right off the board and say he got fired. Then he stopped and said, wait a second, let me read the whole thing here. And it was they offered him the 1-year extension. He still has one more year. They're going to offer him another year extension, and they both sat down at the table and said, let's just make a mutual agreement to part ways. Management and Mattingly, from what I understand, from the way it seems, and you would know this, we're not on the same page anymore, or the way the team should be
well,
going.
I didn't think they were, but maybe they were. If they offered him an extension, I mean, I don't know if they knew he wouldn't take it. I mean, I heard that he said something about, I don't want to be a lame duck manager. I also had some fun. You know, sometimes you get on those message boards, and,
mm-hmm.
and people have, you know, pretty strong opinions.
Yeah.
And we had this one guy telling me, or this one guy was writing that, you know, I hope you fans are happy with what you've done. All of your complaining has lost us Mattingly. All he did was take us to 585 plus win seasons, 390 win seasons, and 3 consecutive, you know, division titles. And it was just funny to read below that was like 25 straight comments of, you know what, we would have won more games if we didn't have Mattingly. You know, it's like he held us down from
yeah.
doing well. And so I think there's a lot of consensus in that opinion. I'm sure Mattingly will be fine somewhere else. I think he's supposed to go. I think they said Florida is looking at him for the Marlins.
Oh, I could see that.
That they like him. And why not? You know, it's a small, it's a young team. It's a building team. I think Mattingly would be better there. You know, where the guys don't have enough, there's not enough veterans and experience for them to question him.
Beautiful ballpark, just a couple years old, state-of-the-art facility.
I think he might even live down there.
He probably does in the off. I mean, who doesn't live down there in the off season of baseball? I mean, you practically have to.
Yeah, no income taxes either.
Exactly.
And then, you know, I would be remiss if I didn't say that Mattingly did have a very nice career record with the Dodgers.
He did.
446 wins, 353 losses. That's not a bad record, but, you know, you're defined by titles.
You're defined
by how you play in the postseason.
And he just hasn't produced.
Yeah. I mean, look at the Royals. I mean, the back-to-back World Series with a roster that's not on paper as impressive as the Dodgers.
Exactly. I would agree with you. That's a .551 winning percentage, which I think any MLB team would take over that many span of games.
Right. And three back-to-back division titles. He does deserve credit for that, but, you know, you got to keep perspective. So now on to the teams that were eliminated this season, or this last week. The Blue Jays, they tried to fight. They went. It was a 4-2 series. It was still their best season since 1993 when they won their second world title, I believe it was. And then as far as the team goes, they look strong for next year. They've got a good core. Almost everyone is signing through next year. The two people they're going to lose for sure are David Price and Estrada. So losing these two guys means that they're going to have to be very aggressive on the free agent market to get a pitcher or to trade for someone, because you can't, you know, I mean, let's be honest, Tulo didn't do that much for him. I mean, he may have made him look a little bit better for a little bit, but he didn't hit that well. It was Price who came in and changed that team.
Yeah, you're 100% correct on that. I like the Blue Jays next year no matter what. I think they just, you know, they stumbled against Kansas City. It's Kansas City, I think. They just had more experience being there last year. I'm telling you, second and third, no outs or one out. I was sitting on the edge of my seat going, we're going to a game seven. We're going to get the recap of game seven this morning. And, you know, we just didn't get to do it.
No.
They finished it down in six in beautiful style. Who was it? Smiley on the mound?
Oh, for the I don't know.
I can't remember. You know, with that hour delay, he came out and he pitched really bad for 2/3 of an inning, and then for a third of an inning, he pitched really, really good.
I don't remember if that was Smiley or not, because he used to play for Tigers, so I don't know if he got traded or.
I don't remember. For some reason, that's on the top of my head.
I do know that Price lost again. So that's,
yeah, he just keeps losing.
Do you think for him or for. I mean, like Kershaw's got his long term deal, but. Do you think they could hurt Price? I mean,
I think it does hurt Price. It's going to get the attention from the people that want to make a playoff run.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't really put him in your starting lineup if you're going to make a playoff run and say, here's where we're going. Where do we pitch Price, though?
if he can't be your wild card game ace, if he can't be your opening division series ace, and can't be your opening LCS division or your LCS ace, you know, I mean, it's great to have a good guy during the season.
It is.
Big money is for people who are big at the right time.
That's exactly right.
I do want to give a little bit of respect to the GM, Alex. I think it's Anthopoulos, basically because he had picked up Tulo and Price this year. He also got Russell Martin. And then in the offseason, he grabbed Josh Donaldson. And Donaldson came from the A's. And, you know, Bean is very famous for shipping people off before they reach the end of their arbitration. Now, he had a whole other year left before that. Either way, I still don't understand the move, because Donaldson is like that once every like 10-year player that you find in the draft or that you finagle from some other team.
Yeah.
He's the kind of guy who changes a lineup. You know, he's like a Bonds. He changes the five batters after him and the four batters before him. You know, I mean, it's just, or whatever it is. It changes every other batter in that lineup because they're thinking about how it's going to equate to a situation involving Josh Donaldson.
Yes, I would 100% agree with you. The other person, he got a Philly, I think it was Ben Vereen, that went up right at the trade deadline too. So he just got everyone he could at the trade deadline. He did a great job.
And we'll see if they've depleted their minor league system. I don't know enough about minor league baseball.
You know, I don't know the Toronto minor league system all that well. Considering they picked up all these people, I'm going to guess it's okay, because you got to look at the price tags of all these guys now and say, you know, where do they sit?
And let's be honest, we can't assume that the Rockies got anything of value. So
I would highly doubt that they did.
that's just how they roll.
Yeah, unfortunately, we live in a city where the owner of the Rockies just doesn't care. He just puts people in the stands. on weekends, is what I'm going
to
say.
Hey, we're foolish enough to keep coming back. I do want to run over the Cubs. I think we'll do that after the commercial break.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Cubbies did get eliminated, which I know is a disappointment for
their
fans.
A lot
of
people.
106 years we were looking, or 108 years, whatever it was, looking to end the drought. But you know what? They got a good squad. They're going to be good for a while.
You know, Mark, I was feeling a little down this morning. What do you think could help me pick me up?
Well, you know, one of the things I've been looking to do, especially when you're trying to get in better shape as you get on in years, and it's a little harder to keep the weight down and keep
God.
Fit.
Look at his belly.
Exactly. Well, let's not even talk about mine. So, you know, one of the things you can use is Shakeology. You can get these from ekfit.net. If you engage with ekfit.net, they can put together a program for you. They've got fitness programs, supplements. They're the biggest at-home fitness business in the country. So look them up on the internet, or you can go to ekfit.net on Facebook. They're ready to help you achieve those fitness goals.
All right, we also want to thank SageMediaLLC.com for all your media needs, website design, Twitter, Facebook updates, logo design. Our great design was designed by Kyle over at Sage Media. So go to SageMediaLLC.com. We'll be right back after this break.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard, so you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
You don't need to get a second job as a stuntman.
We need a new stuntman!
You just need feedthepig.org. Don't get left behind. Get tips and tools at feedthepig.org. Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Okay, forest animals. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
And we're back. This is the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark. Mark, we're going to jump into the Mets versus Royals right now.
Well, you know, actually, before we do that, I wanted to actually hit on the Cubs real quick. You know, they were back in the playoffs for the first time in a number of years, and they did get swept.
Yes, they got swept in the NLCS, gave up a lot of runs. In fact, the Cubs did not lead in any of the four games.
Didn't lead?
As far as I know that they didn't lead in the last game at all, but I remember going back to the stats. They didn't lead in the Mets pitching just blew them out.
I mean, maybe you chunk it up to rookies?
Maybe? You could. It's a young team. It's hard to say.
They played so well. I mean, they're way ahead of schedule. They won 97 games this year. Granted, the National League wasn't the greatest league, but their division was good. They had both the Pirates and the Cardinals in their division. There was 100 wins and 95 wins, I think, for those two teams. So, you know, the rookies showed that they could hit. They just didn't – I guess they just didn't have the fortitude in a big-time situation.
Well, they're gonna need some pitching in the offseason. They have to look at somebody like Price, Greinke, or Jordan Zimmermann from the Nationals. They got to go out there and get another big name, really.
They do. And, you know, and Theo has actually stated that's his biggest goal, because I think that, you know, they've got Arrieta already.
Yep.
So add a secondary ace. They can look at the two things that the Dodgers do. And if they can hire Mattingly, they can go ahead and make sure that they won't make it deep into the playoffs for a number of years.
I think they're quite content with Joe Maddon on a sprint in Pennsylvania. Beer and a shot guy.
Now, come on now. We would like to have Joe Maddon for the Dodgers.
Not going to happen. I can tell you that right now. He's not Mr. L.A. I can tell you that. Let's jump to the Mets and Royals and our World Series matchup starting Tuesday night, 8 o'clock Eastern on Fox Sports.
This should be a great series. I mean, really,
I mean,
we've got the Mets with just an incredible rotation is the only way to put it. You know, one of my friends, Scott, he's a huge Mets fan, And we had Scott
on the show once.
We did.
Yes.
And, you know, he's got one of those little Mr. Metz dolls. We used to work together and used to see that guy bobbing back and forth all day long. And, you know, he's really excited about the future of this team. I mean, they've got Matt Harvey, who's going to lead it off. He's really kind of their – I don't know if he's their ace, because I don't know if they have an ace, if it would be him or DeGrom.
They can go with anybody as an ace.
They really could. I mean, who couldn't start for that team? And, you know, Matt Harvey goes by the nickname the Dark Knight. You know, I think they're equating him to the, I guess, the police chief or the you know, prosecutor, whatever it is,
yeah,
in the Batman series.
That's right.
So he's going to pitch game one. Then they're going to jump over to DeGrom, who, again, is like an ace number two. Then they're going to go with Syndergaard. They're going to have him, the rookie, do number, have the third place start, probably because he throws 100 miles an hour.
Oh, yeah.
And then they're going to have Matz go four. And then they said if they have to go to additional games in the series, they're going to follow that rotation again to the letter and not do short rest. So if it comes to a game seven, they said, we're fine with Syndergaard pitching that. And to be honest, after seeing what he did in L.A. as a rookie,
yeah,
I wouldn't have any problem with that at all.
No, I agree with you. And let's go to the Royals starting lineup now. They're going to pitch Cueto, start off with Cueto. They're going to go into Ventura, Volquez, and their closer is going to be Wade Davis. Great lineup right there. I know their ERA is a little bit high, but let's see. Let's look at the Royals' offense, too. The Royals struck out 146 times less than any other AL team and 545 less than the Cubs.
And you throw in the fact that they don't make errors.
No, they don't. They don't make errors, and when they're at bat, they put the ball in play. They put the ball in play more than mostly any other team.
Well, you know, their leadoff hitter, Asidith Escobar or something like that,
I think so.
He was the MVP of the ALCS.
Yeah.
That guy doesn't take pitches, but he's more like Vlad Guerrero. It's like he's a bad ball hitter. He can hit any ball that's anywhere around the strike zone and put it in play. And, you know, if you've got speed, put the ball on the ground and make people make a play. People are going to make mistakes.
Yeah, but how about Murphy with six straight games with a home run? I got to tell you what. You can look back in baseball history, and you're not going to find that stat.
No, I mean, the craziest thing is he and Lou Gehrig, I think it was, are the only players in history in the playoffs to have seven consecutive games with a hit, an RBI, and a run. Obviously, when you hit home run in six consecutive games, you take care of all three of those at once.
Oh, yeah.
But that's just amazing. I mean, seven straight games of that. I don't think he's ever hit seven home runs in a month in his career. And
oh, no. I think he only had something like 12 home runs on the season.
You know, he's a great fantasy player. I've had him on my team. He's very productive. But, you know, Daniel Murphy, we knew he was a good player. We didn't know that he was this kind of a player.
Right.
Now, what's going to be crazy is he's a free agent.
He is.
And he's going to parlay this into millions and millions of dollars. I mean, you look at what that Cody Ross did with the Giants. He was a role player. He had a monster World Series for them playoffs, you know, and got like a three-year contract with Boston for $12, $13 million. I don't think he even started that more than a year because he's not that good. Now, Daniel Murphy is a legitimate starter. He's a good second baseman. He's a good third baseman or even a first baseman. And when you produce like that in the big limelight.
Hey, new Mr. October.
He is. And he's in New York.
That's true. And another thing to point out, the Royals only had one error this whole postseason, so they're playing solid defense there. So the Mets are going to have to contend with that. I know the Mets are playing great defense, playing great pitching.
But think about if you don't give any extra outs to the other team, you've got to increase your chances of winning. And if you have a great defense that doesn't make errors, your pitchers, who may not look as amazing talent-wise on paper, they're going to be a better overall fit. Because they're not going to have to worry about those extra outs, you know, kind of giving away runs.
Do we want to make our World Series projections right now? Of course, they're always subject to change day to day.
I have to go with the Mets. I have to go pitching. That's it.
I'd like to go with the Mets, but as a Phillies fan, I'd have to hang myself after the show. I'm going to go with the grittiness of the Royals. The fact that they took out the leading offense in the Blue Jays that scored well over 200 and more runs than anybody in the MLB. I'm going to go with their gritty play and say that they're going to go seven games.
They have the best record in the league,
yeah.
You know, at least in the American League for the year. They've shown that they've got the tenacity and, like you said, the grit. You know, they really do have that. And, you know, you really would feel good for either team because the Mets won in 86, the Royals won in 85. So That's wonderful.
Yeah.
I mean, why not?
It's great for baseball.
And I just want to throw in a real quick note. Sorry about this to kind of go back on this. Next week there is going to be another early morning game in Webley Stadium.
Oh, there is.
This time it's the Lions and the Chiefs. Now, the Lions and the Chiefs right now are both 1-5.
Yeah.
They may not both be 1-5 when they're in London, but there's a pretty good chance they're both going to be 1-6. So,
very, very good chance of that.
We apologize to London for sending you garbage. It's almost as though they looked at the schedule and said, who's going to stink? And that's who we'll send over to London to play games because, you know. But
let's jump into the NFL here. I'm going to go. We already made our picks here. Of course, those are subject to change. You can catch all the World Series action on Fox Sports Tuesday night starting at 8 o'clock Eastern. There is extended pregame live on Fox Sports 1, I believe, starting at 7 o'clock. We're going to go into the NFL. It's 27-13 in the third quarter with 11:27 left, it looks like, here from by what I'm streaming on my phone.
Yeah, I'm not super impressed with the stream. I mean, I'm not sure the internet that we have in here is super high speed.
It's not super high speed. I'm on the super high speed. We are actually we are hooked up to their DSL line here, or T1 line.
I'm just noticing that I'm not really getting HD in terms of the
stream. No, I've tried to stream from here over the wireless, and it doesn't work all that well.
And this is, again, why I don't think this is necessarily the best idea.
I don't think it is. I have a friend in São Paulo, Brazil. He streams sports all the time. He doesn't even actually have TV down there because the TV in Brazil is horrible, he said. So he streams all the sports.
Why not, right?
Yeah. So, you know, it might be better around the world than we have here. I mean, we're so used to watching it on TV.
And we also have people just, you know, hogging bandwidth. And I think in other countries where there's not so much of, it's not always a profit motive. Sometimes it's a government service. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of places have the full gigabyte style internet bandwidth that we don't have.
Right. And let's jump into Thursday night's action. I want to ask you a question.
Yeah.
How is Colin Kaepernick a starting NFL quarterback?
I don't
see it.
And
how did he get that deal? I mean, Jay Cutler, how are giving...
Harbaugh knew how to create a system that would work for
how
a guy
that
he found.
How are giving backup quarterbacks, backup quality quarterbacks, $100 million deals?
Back-to-back appearances in the NFC Championship game.
I mean, it's just incredible.
It wasn't him. It was Harbaugh.
It was Harbaugh, of course.
What do we know now? We know that the Niners were idiots. I mean, I've been saying this for a year. The GM, there's a problem with that GM. If you have a coach that comes in and takes a team that wasn't winning and turns them into winners almost overnight, it's the coach.
It is.
Not the GM. And the Niners were idiots. They didn't do what Harbaugh wanted. I mean, I know he rubs people the wrong way, and I'm sure that happens with every team he plays for, and it will happen in Michigan. But you know what? Is your goal to win or is your goal to be pretty? You know, I mean, you want to win. And the Niners look horrible. I mean,
they really did.
They
look
2-5 is amazing.
It is horrible. I mean, the Seahawks finally looked somewhat good. Beast Mode got himself a touchdown. I had him in fantasy, so I'm super happy to see that.
I mean, he finally got 112 yards. So
yeah.
He broke the barrier. It was finally him as a stalwart back and not having to share carries with Rawls or Fred Jackson. So it's nice to see Marshawn coming around. He's a guy that they need. But still, I don't even know if the Seahawks can come back and make the playoffs with how bad of a start they had.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see. They definitely – Arizona's going to be – we got to see what Arizona does on Monday Night Football.
Yes, we do.
Let's look at a matchup. We got the Falcons-Titans today. Now, Mariota is not dressed for the game.
That's probably a good thing over the last
Zach
four
– That the 33.3 QB rating. Zach Mettenberg is going to get the start. This is a weird game for me. It's one of those where I'm looking at the Falcons. They finally got a loss. We saw the flaws. The Saints pointed them out clearly.
Cracks all over
everywhere. Matty Ice cannot stop looking at Julio Jones.
Let's just be honest. Neither one of us are Matt Ryan fans.
No.
I think we both think he's overrated.
I agree.
He's one of those guys who was good in college, and he's competent in the NFL, but it's we're not often going to see him being a leader.
That's true. And, you know, does Devontae go off again? You know, it's a really good question.
He's like a two-touchdown-a-game guy. If that stops, I mean, is that why the team is so good? You know, maybe it is. I don't know.
Well, Atlanta's a six. Last night, Atlanta was a 6-point favorite in this game.
That's ridiculous.
I mean, I can see it, but I also can't see it.
You got to remember that the spread is not always based on what they actually think, like the scores are going to be.
It is not indicative, but I'd like to say I picked the Eagles. I didn't pick the Eagles score right last week, but I picked the Eagles 27 right. I just got the Giants to hold up to their end of the bargain. They only scored 7 instead of the 17 I was saying.
Dude, what's wrong with the Giants?
Odell Beckham hamstring is hurt. They're missing JPP on the line with his missing fingers from July 4th. They have a lot of problems.
That's just shocking.
And they actually might lose to the Cowboys today.
Yeah.
Quite frankly,
well, the Cowboys they got Castle.
They're going to have Castle start and not loser Whedon, who lost 11 straight.
Yeah, so I mean Castle just has to make a couple of good throws,
yep.
You know. But we are going to take a quick commercial break here, but we do want to remind you guys that it's good to contact Kyle at sagemediallc.com. If you've got websites, if you've got social media issues, if you need logos and designs, he's a great person to contact to take care of all of your media needs. Again, that's sagemediallc.com.
And also, we'd like to thank our friends over at ekfit.net for all your fitness needs. Go to ekfit.net. Get a Beachbody coach, get your workout in, get your Shakeology for you, and we're going to be right back right from this quick commercial break.
Hey, Dr. Phil here. You know, I help people solve difficult problems every day, but one problem has me stumped, childhood hunger. Nearly 16 million children in America struggle with it. Luckily, the Feeding America network of local food banks collects surplus food, giving hope to hungry children and their families. But they need your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstoprex.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
And we're back on the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark. We're going to keep rolling here with the NFL.
Quick update. The Jaguars are still up 27-13. Looks like that there might be a score coming up here in the next few minutes. We'll let everybody know.
I'm going to let you got that streaming, I think, over there. A little bit faster than I do on my phone over here. Let's jump into the Jets and the Patriots game. This is the game of the week right now. Deion Lewis is scratching. He is not actually even suiting.
Oh, my goodness. So you're telling me that Mr. Blount on my team is likely to have a 35-point day.
apparently, he is dinged up, too. They don't really know who's going to be getting the ball, is what I heard this morning on the latest.
Hearing that. this is the game of the week, though. You've got the Jets at 4-1. You've got the Patriots at 5-0. These are the two teams that are – I mean, this is everything for the Jets. If the Jets can beat the Patriots here, they even their record, they grab the tiebreaker, or at least they start to grab the tiebreaker, at least make it even out. This gives them a chance to, knock off the Pats for the first time since Matt Castle was their quarterback.
That's right. That is 100%. I look at Revis Island with Tom Brady, and you got Cromartie on the other side. How do they use Gronk and Edelman going on both sides of here? You know, does Revis stay on one of them? Do they play Revis Island and just keep him to his side like Sherman?
Who would you put him on?
I would put him on Gronk. I'd hate to say it. I'd let Cromartie worry about Edelman.
I would probably do the same thing. Because I've noticed that's what Belichick tends to do. He tends to – that's how Belichick did it, but everybody does that. Like when you have Revis, a guy that talented at being a one-on-one man coverage guy, you pretty much just say, this is your man. You take care of him, mm-hmm. and our schemes are based on 10 players, not 11.
And Chris Ivory for the Jets, I've had him in fantasy now for about 2 different years, and I didn't take him this year. And this year he's going off.
He is. He looks great.
He really does. I have to commend the guy for actually, you know, putting together a season so far that's just off the chain.
Now, the question here is, you know, the Jets have a good defense. Now, they also have a good offense. People don't give them credit.
They don't give them enough credit.
Because you got Decker and Marshall, the former Bronco tandem.
Yep.
You know, even though they never played together.
Exactly.
And you also have, like you said, Ivory in the backfield. You've got Fitzpatrick showing that with talent, he's not bad.
He can do something.
Yeah, he's got the arm. And more important than the arm, though, is he's got the football IQ.
He does have the football IQ.
And he can check hit progression. And that's huge.
And that's where Colin Kaepernick. San Francisco
loses everything. He does not have it at all. And you just see what happens when you don't have E.J. Manuel is another example. He had 3 turnovers in 3 drives. Now, they weren't all interceptions. 2 of them were.
Yep.
But, I mean, still, if you're not keeping the defense on their heels, then that means that they've got their ears pinned back. And that's not good for any team.
So I'm going to actually ask you, the point spread last night was 7.5 New England favorite at home. I think it's down to 6 as of this morning. What do you like?
Well, I actually took I took the Jets at 8. So I don't know if that's changed since last night. I figured 8 was very doable. The Colts held the Patriots to pedestrian numbers last week.
Mm-hmm.
They were still good, but they were within the realm of possibility. And I think the Jets' offense is good enough to expose that the Patriots' defense isn't that good. The Patriots' defense just usually has the benefit of being so far ahead that they can do blitzing schemes. So I think the Jets make it close, but I still think the Pats come out on top.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to take the Jets with the points on this one. Straight up, Jets with the points. And let's jump into the next actual good game today, which is tonight. Eagles at the Panthers. I'm going to let you start this one off.
Well, Panthers are undefeated.
Yes, they are.
And so we're going to have, I mean, and I will say this right now. I will go out on a limb, and I'm going to say that the Packers and the Broncos are going to be undefeated going into the next week.
It's an easy way to go, considering they're both sitting at home watching. Peyton was in Tennessee. Peyton was actually in Alabama yesterday watching the Alabama-Tennessee game.
So it does make you wonder if we're only going to have 2 undefeated teams when we start next week, or if we're going to still have 3 or 4.
It could.
You know, Carolina hasn't lost, and Cam Newton's looked like an MVP. So here is a real test, right?
This is
Carolina. This is an undefeated team,
uh-huh.
And this is an Eagles team that's desperately trying to show that they belong on the top of an NFC East that is weak. So what do you think they can do tonight?
Well, I'm going to ask you, Sam Bradford's getting better. What do you see happening in this game?
I would say I honestly think the Eagles are going to get blown out.
I'm going to give you a Lee Corso because they were at James Madison University yesterday, and he came out with the best costume ever. Not so fast. I'm going to give you this. The Eagles are 6-2 against the Carolina Panthers, and they have won the last 2 games in Carolina. The Eagles are up to 6.2 average yards per play against the Carolina defense, which is giving up 27 points a game, 6th overall. They're giving 334.2 yards a game, which is 28th overall.
The Panthers are giving up 27 points a game?
Yes, passing yards of 201.4 a game, 29th overall. And they're only giving up 132.8 rushing yards. That's 3rd overall. That's not that bad. So I'm going to give you the Lee Corso not so fast.
Wow. That's impressive that they actually are 5-0 giving up that many points.
I heard a lot of analysts this morning saying, take the Eagles in the points, but the Eagles are going to win out.
Boy, 38-17 is the best I can give the Eagles a chance to only lose by that amount. But you never know. I mean, Branford, you know, he's got 9 touchdowns and 9 picks. So he has straightened things out a little bit because that was not a ratio in his favor at all before. So at least now he's tied it up.
He's starting to get a little better. They're starting to gel. But
the system makes sense more to him,
I think. Well, here's the problem is Aguilar is out.
Who's Aguilar?
Aguilar, the first-round draft pick from USC.
Oh, the receiver.
Yeah.
Okay, well, he hasn't done anything.
He hasn't done anything, but, you know, he is another cog in the piece.
That might be better, though. You know what? Riley Cooper knows how to run that system better.
Watch where you say Riley Cooper in the sports world.
So I mean, he'll probably still stay as a slot. So who's going to be the number 2?
You know, they'll probably move a tight end. They'll probably move Sproles into number 2.
That's what they should do. Put Sproles out there.
You're going to see a lot of interesting formations tonight. I'm going to tell you that 100% right now. Is what you're going to see. I was picking this game, Carolina 24, the Eagles 17.
And the Eagles have dominated Cam Newton. We got to be honest about
they
that.
They have. You know, it's my Eagles. I don't want to pick against them. I'm trying not to, but I'm going to take the Eagles with a point spread tonight. I thought in my betting.
You know, there's an important over-under to mention with the Eagles. So this year, they have they've rushed for 100 yards three times and under 100 yards three times. You know, the three games that they've rushed are over 100 yards,
they won.
Three games under 100 yards, they lost.
So DeMarco Murray's looking to go off right now. I think he really wants to prove that he is in the right system and that he wants to look like a stud.
Well, he wants a lot of stuff, but it's more about, you know, can Chip Kelly, you know, put forth on that? Can he design a game plan around the running game first, which he doesn't seem to like to do, and I think they should do, because then it would open up passing, you know?
Chip Kelly actually is a running first coach.
Well, I never seem to see that, though.
No one thinks it, but when you look at the stats, he's a run first coach. It just always seems like they're throwing the ball.
It just seems like he runs it one time, gets 3 yards, and then he passes the next four plays. Maybe it's just the way it looks.
It's an optical illusion. He is a definite,
I think he's terrible.
If you look at all the statistics, he is a run first coach, pass second. The run sets up the pass sets up the run. It's a balancing act that he does that's incredible to watch sometimes when it's working right.
I will say that. The few drives we've seen this year where they actually were, like, doing their offense correctly, they do look good. So if they can put that together, there is still time because that division is just a train wreck.
It is. It definitely is.
What's the latest on Dez Bryant? I don't know if you've seen
that. Dez Bryant's out.
No, I know he's out, but is he, like, maybe next week or the week after?
It could be. He tried practicing. They took him off. They put him on the inactive list.
Okay.
Basically, he's just
– So he's still PUP.
He's definitely out for this game. They're going to evaluate him for next game and see what happens. Now, that's an injury that can linger all year.
But this is the Eagles have to take advantage of this. While he's out, they've got to get some more wins.
All right. Is there anything else you want to jump in here in the NFL? I'm looking at the point spread. There's no real impressive matchups here.
That's the thing. There's not really a lot of exciting games this week. Although, every time that I say that, every time I think it's boring matchups, it tends to be really good games.
You get good games. So. But I'm looking at the matchups and going, none of these really have any bearing on where anybody is in their except for the Giants.
Well, yeah,
and Eagles.
It's bad teams playing bad teams and good teams playing bad teams and
exactly.
A lot of good teams on a bye. So
that's what it is. Let's jump to the NHL right now. I want to say one thing. Montreal is on fire. They have now set a record. They have won 9 straight, winning last night.
Go Canadiens, eh?
Hey, good hockey. Hey, good luck. I honestly, they had a 12-game winning streak last year, which – yeah, they did. They were actually one of the hotter teams going into the playoffs. They lost to the Caps. Caps have just won 5 straight. Dallas was on a 5-game winning streak. They lost. They lost last night. Los Angeles is the team, my sleeper team in the West. They are on a 4-game winning streak right now. Some news to pass along. The Flyers left winger Rafael got hit last night, and the Flyers win over the Rangers. In OT, in a shootout. He went to the bench and collapsed. He needed medical attention. After the game, the players...
Did he get hit or something?
He got hit with the elbow. After the game, they said he was actually basically joking around with everybody. He was cognitive. There was nothing wrong. He just collapsed on the bench for some reason. I don't have any other news on that this morning.
Man, you hate to have him find out like he's got like a heart murmur or something.
They literally stopped the game. You hate seeing it. I didn't actually see that play. I couldn't get any hockey highlights this morning, and I haven't read anything about it.
So tell me what you think about, because I know that Columbus, you know, they started off real bad this season, had no points to show as of last night. They may have taken out the Avs last night. I didn't see the end of the game.
They beat the Avalanche.
So they finally got on the board. You know, I know they fired their coach, Todd Richards. Do you think that was a good move?
Yes. It's 100% good move. They were looking absolutely atrocious. Let me go to their stats overall. Where are they? Sorry. There they are. They had 15 goals for 37 against. That's minus 22. I mean, that's horrible hockey.
Well, that's minus 50%.
Yeah, so you're at 50% under, and they did knock off the Avs last night 4-3.
What's wrong with the Avalanche? How come they can't win?
They
were so good 2 years ago.
Terrible goaltending. They didn't get sure that place up, and their defense is still not up to par.
So they have. So their whole thing is. I mean, because that's everything in hockey that I've ever been able to notice is your goaltender.
Yeah, and you have to have the goaltender. You have to have it. Patrick Wall knows it. I don't know why he's holding on to Vlarimov.
And you would think that Sakic knows that too.
Yeah,
you know,
I don't think they just had a quality person they could go after. So, you know, it's early in the season. We'll see what happens. We want to touch on Patrick Kane here real quick. There's been a lot of talk this week on a lot of sports shows about the NFL's exempt list with domestic violence and so on and so forth, and that the NHL, the NBA, and the MLB is really behind. Patrick Kane was accused of rape back in August in upstate New York, in Buffalo, actually. You know, if you look at the facts of the case, there is a lot of hearsay evidence that he got set up. Now, I don't want to just come out and speculate that, but if you read the stories I'm reading and what the bartenders at Sky Bar said up there in Buffalo and what the friend of the girl is saying and everything else, and they're calling it an elaborate hoax. So I don't know if – I know the NFL has their exempt list where you're paid, but you're not allowed to play until the event's over. Then they come down and give you a suspension.
See, I don't understand that.
I don't either.
I mean, you're innocent until you're proven guilty. And
yeah.
Even if you're not proven guilty and the NFL decides, well, you know what, we can't prove that you were guilty, but we think the evidence is overwhelming that you did do something incorrect and you're bad for our image, so we're going to suspend you for a little bit of time that, or a lot of time if you do get prosecuted and convicted. But, I mean, this is ridiculous. You can't start just, I mean, because then people could just start throwing out accusations.
And that's what I think is happening.
Think about a team like the Patriots, right? I mean, the Patriots, they're willing to stoop to any level to win. Can you imagine if there was an NHL coach like that or even in the NFL and then saying, you know what, we're having a real problem. We can't stop this guy. So what we're going to do is we're going to have a girl throw out an accusation.
And that's what it could come to. This all came about because of Johnny Manziel. A lot of people saying he should have been put on the NFL exempt list. Now, I could not find him on the exempt list. I don't know.
No, but that's an interesting situation they got going on.
They do, and I don't want to get into it because no one knows all the facts yet. I have not heard all the facts.
But you know what the rumor is. So
well,
we can
talk
about that.
Well, I mean, she's got a grip mark on. She said that he got hit. She's got a grip mark on her arm, but she also said she was trying to jump out of the car while it was moving. So was that Johnny grabbing her arm, saying,
right,
"Don't
jump
out of the
car"?
I don't know because he's been with this girl.
You know how it goes with a guy too. Is that sometimes a guy, you know, the girl's not listening, you grab her, hey, wait, come on, listen to me. And Johnny Manziel being a very strong guy,
and he could have just went over and just tapped her on the shoulder like that, and oh, he hit me.
Right, but I mean, let's not. We're not trying to say that he didn't do something.
What we're trying to say is
you need to start letting the facts come out
and
figure out what happened before you freak out. Now, if you do that, look, if you hit a woman, you're the biggest wimp on the face of the earth.
100%.
And you deserve to get beat down yourself. But let's not throw people into the ash bin until we actually know they're guilty.
I agree, and we're not condoning domestic violence by any means. I know it might have came off that way. But we just want to know the facts before we really start prosecuting these players and punishing these players. Let the facts actually come out. Let the police do their due diligence. Let everyone know what happened. The fact that the Ray Rice video came out so late in that was just...
Fact of the matter.
that was hands down. Bam. He punched her, knocked her cold. You know, that was pretty cut and dry. Other stuff is, you know, the police are batting around these different theories. We got to let it go.
You know, punishment should fit the crime after the crime has been convicted.
And that's where we're going to end right there. We're going to go to a quick commercial break. I want to thank ekfit.net for all your
health and workout needs. And I also want to make sure that we thank SageMediaLLC.com, where they can take care of all of your logo, website, and social media requirements.
We'll be right back after the short break.
So, you know, I'm a dog, and I'm kind of new to this family, but I've noticed a trend. My humans do this thing where they go around and get all my toys and hide them in this basket, but it's always the same basket, and it's always the same place, and then they act so surprised when I find them, but I'm like, hello, that's where you put it last time. Humans are the worst at hide-and-go-seek.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
single ember from a wildfire can travel over a mile. Your home is better protected when your whole community is prepared. Visit fireadapted.org to get started. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard, so you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
You don't need to get a second job as a stuntman.
We need a new stuntman!
You just need FeedThePig.org. Don't get left behind. Get tips and tools at FeedThePig.org. Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Mark, I am JP. Mark is across the desk from me. We are going to get into college football. I quick want to give you a quick update here. The Rugby World Cup is going on. Yesterday's match had New Zealand All Blacks versus the South African Springboks on the pitch. They had a gritty, grinded out battles. New Zealand All Blacks won that test 20-18. Today we have a surprise semifinal. Argentina.
What was the name of that team? The Springboks.
Springboks.
What is that?
Gazelle.
Oh, okay.
And we have the Australia. It's going to be Argentina versus the Australia Wallabies. That's going to be a great game. I look for the Wallabies to win that game. It'll be a All Blacks Wallabies Halloween Rugby World Cup next Saturday.
Oh, really? That's kind of a cool thing to have.
Yeah, it'll probably be broadcast on NBC Sports. You just got to look for time and dates. We got a lot of college
stream
football.
It on Yahoo.
Yeah, you can do
just
that.
Quick update again. The Buffalo Bills did get a field goal. We're now in the fourth quarter, 14 minutes to go. Score is 27-16. Jacksonville still way ahead.
Still way ahead. You said fourth quarter, right?
That's correct.
Okay, let's get into the NCAA football. We have some disturbing news out of Stillwater, Oklahoma. This one is just heartbreaking. Their homecoming parade was going on. A woman and a passenger in a sedan plows into the end of the parade, killing 4, injuring 44 others. The driver is under suspicion and was arrested on a DUI charge. People that were there, eyewitness accounts that I saw out of the Stillwater TV station, said they saw people flying 30 feet in the air. They thought it was an act in the parade.
How can you, first of all, people, if you're drinking, don't drive. What is the point?
Right.
You're going to kill someone.
And this lady was 25 years old. She looks in her photo, mugshot like
life
she's
is
40.
Over. Life is over now. Yeah. So, not only did you kill some people and destroy their families and their lives, but you also destroyed your own life, and you're probably, you might even commit suicide at some point from the guilt from it. You know what? Drinking, we all do it, but fine, no big deal, but just
be responsible.
Yeah, why do you have to hurt someone else?
That's right. You have to be responsible. Call a cab, take the train.
Uber is cheap.
Uber is cheap.
If there's an app on your phone, just tap the app,
call
tap the phone, and you're good to go. You're going to go home for $12 out of your bank account.
Exactly.
$12 is
and
worth
the holidays, no DUI.
And during the
holidays, out in Denver here, the Shawai Law Firm actually says, call a cab and give us the receipt. We'll pay it for it.
And that's true. Yeah.
Shawai does that during the holidays.
Just to stop the drunk driving.
Yeah.
It doesn't do anything for anyone.
So, Oklahoma State did win their homecoming game against Kansas. They did it in a blowout fashion. It is Kansas. So, our hearts go out to them. We wanted to just, wish all the families well out there.
Absolutely.
It's really a bad scene. Brad Kaya from Miami got hurt yesterday with a concussion that looked really, really bad. I mean, he got smacked to the turf. Miami took the worst beating in school history at the hands of Clemson, who I really like. Yeah. 58-0
58-0
in Dolphin Stadium with hardly anybody there. It's time for a change.
You
Al Golden's got to go. It's
the
time
hair
for a change.
On Jimmy Johnson's head rolled in his grave.
Oh,
I mean,
Jesus. I mean, there. If you look at Twitter, all these old Miami players are saying the program's got to change now. Because I mean, there might have been.
I'm guessing that Michael Irvin 20,000 people. I'm guessing Mike Irvin was on the phone to the AD and said, you know, bring back the coke, bring back the prostitutes, bring back whatever you got to do to get the recruits because they're not happy with
them. I think Al Golden. A lot of people say Al Golden stays the rest of the year. I say just let an interim coach do it. Fire him now. Get him out. I hate seeing him. He's a nice guy, good coach, but get him out of there.
Change cultures.
Yeah, let's go to the number one team in the nation blew Rutgers last night. Let's go to the number two team in the nation, which is an interesting story now. They were blowing out Iowa State, and their quarterback has a broken bone in his neck. And their toughest part of their schedule right now is TCU, OSU, and Oklahoma coming up.
That's a gauntlet right there.
TCU and OSU is road games. Oklahoma's at home. I tell you what, I'm looking at least one or two losses.
And not to be cryptic, but you know, when you have a team like OSU, whether they just, you know, the tragedy they just had, teams and cities seem to respond on that kind of thing
to
like show pride.
So
I could see that being a real tough win for them to try and get.
I agree with you. A&M and Ole Miss play. That was the only top 25 matchup we had yesterday. A&M got embarrassed again by Ole Miss. A&M had had a 5-0 record, but it was probably the softest 5-0 record. On the books.
And now they're coming tumbling down.
They're going to go all the way to the bottom.
Which is what I worry about with the Broncos. I could see the exact same thing happening.
I could see that,
finally
too.
Get a chink in the armor and psh, there you go.
I could see that, too. Alabama escapes with a 19-14 win. This was absolutely a tie game, 7-7 at the half. I actually had this on TV number two. I had Penn State on TV number one. 7-7. Tennessee missed two field goals in the game. Not by much. Tennessee went up 14-13, and turnover by Tennessee leads to a Bama touchdown. Bama wins the game. Tennessee
old-fashioned thing is still holds true. When you have a good coach who teaches fundamentals like you do with Saban, the players are ready, the team is ready. They don't make the stupid mistakes in the end, and that's how you end up squeaking out a win.
That's true. And Tennessee is right on the verge. I think next year they're going to be a really, really good team. We're going to roll through this. We're almost done with the show. We had another unbelievable, fantastic, you can't believe this finish for
beautiful.
The second week in a row. Georgia Tech beats FSU 22-16 on a blocked field goal with time expired. Now, the funny thing, Mark, if you watch this, everyone's saying, don't touch the ball, don't touch the ball. Guy picks it up, rumbles, bumbles, stumbles. I think it was about 72 yards into the end zone.
What a great
finish. Spun a Florida State defender around that tried to grab him. The place goes crazy. Fans storm the field. Georgia Tech needed that win.
Yeah, I don't like FSU, so that's fine.
Oh, yeah, I'm good with that one, too. And we talked about this one last week. Paxton Lynch of Memphis is just 6'7", 245. He just keeps rolling along. 32 for 44, 447, four touchdowns, one pick, and one rushing touchdown over
five Dolphins. Total touchdowns.
Five total touchdowns. You need to watch a Memphis game. If you can find a Memphis game, you need to watch this kid play. Or even watch YouTube highlights of it, because I think when it comes down to it, if he actually enters the draft, he could be the number one overall pick at a quarterback.
Who's going to get that number one pick?
That's a really good question. it very well could be the Jaguars. You never know, though. You know, we got to look at Toledo. Toledo, number 19 Toledo, was down 21-10 at UMass. They came storming back for a 51-35 victory. You got to look at these Power 5 conference teams just showing up, because now we have this whole introverted kind of top 25.
It's just a crazy topsy-turvy kind of thing. You know, Duke hung on in a 4 overtime game against Virginia Tech.
Yep.
Cal got taken down by UCLA. The Temple Owls, who are 7-0 for the first time in history, now they go to play Notre Dame at the Link next week. What do you think?
You know what? It's going to be an interesting game. They have a great defense. That's going to be at 8 p.m. Eastern on ABC TV, TV.
Where is Temple?
What's that? Temple is in northern Philly, but they play at the Link.
Okay, I just had no idea where Temple was.
Temple is in northern Philly. And Cameron Smith, USC last night, does the upset. It's not really an upset when you were the favorite, and that was actually a six-point spread at kickoff. He had three picks in the game. I watched this game. He took one to the house. They routed Utah.
I don't think anybody believed in Utah.
I agree.
I don't think anybody believes in Baylor, and we're going to see some more.
Well, Utah is going to drop out of the top 10 in the rankings. The first playoff rankings come out November 3rd, 8 p.m. Eastern time. We are going to sign off for now.
Yeah, folks, thanks for spending your morning with us, and we should have a great afternoon of NFL football ahead. We will be back next week. Anything big for the week that you want to mention?
Nothing big for the week. We're going to sign off right now. Okay, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and have a great sports week.
Up next, the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark. Up next, the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark.